The scripture this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, found on page 705 of your pew Bible. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, three days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he cried, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, with the greatest of them to the least of them. Then tidings reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and removed his robe and covered himself in sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he made proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily to God. Yea, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we perish not." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Don. So today we're going to rely pretty heavily on the text, and we're going to be looking at it often. And so from page 705, we're going to look at the whole book of Jonah today. So if you want to follow along, as I'm going to be referencing a lot of scripture to be able to share with you the story, I invite you to do that. Again, like I said, we're going to be looking heavily at the whole book of Jonah today. It's only four chapters. I won't keep you too long, I promise. But today, we're going to finish our series about the superheroes of the Bible, which I'm a little sad about that because I've really enjoyed being able to share with you all these rich and powerful stories of the Bible. But we've talked about all different kinds of heroes. We talked about strong ones, smart ones, handsome ones, crafty ones, just to name a few. And we've also come to recognize, too, that heroes don't always fit that mold of a perfect person. The prime example that we have, of course, last week is of Samson, a man who was of pretty questionable moral character, but at the end of his life took an opportunity to redeem himself in sacrificing his life to gain a huge victory for the people of Israel. But today I want us to talk about a really fascinating hero to me. And this hero is fascinating for a multitude of reasons. And so, yes, we're going to talk about that prophet, Jonah. And so, as I mentioned, Jonah is pretty fascinating to me for a lot of reasons. One of the first reasons, and it actually makes me shudder a little bit whenever I think about this, is that Jonah, the book of Jonah, was actually my final exam in Hebrew class. And so what I had to do was that I sat in a chair in front of the professor, and I had to read the book of Jonah in Hebrew until he stopped me. And he'd stop me on a word and say I had to tell him what that word meant. I had to tell him what tense that word was in, and a few other things too. And so it makes me shudder a little bit when I think about the book of Jonah for that reason. But I did okay. I did okay. I'm here in front of you, so that's a good thing. But you know, the other thing that's fascinating to me about the book of Jonah and about Jonah in general is that Jonah has a really important role in the Bible. If you look in the Old Testament, the latter part of the Old Testament is full of prophetic books. And so Jonah is no exception. Jonah is considered what we call one of the minor prophets. But what's fascinating to me about Jonah is that just like any other prophet, Jonah had a job to do. And what Jonah's job was that he had to tell the people of Nineveh about a calamity about to befall them. They were a sinful people in the eyes of God, and so it was Jonah's role to be able to tell them, you all need to repent of your sinful ways, and if you do, it is possible that God will turn away his wrath, and he will forgive you. But here's the thing. Jonah didn't want to do it. Jonah wanted to be the crummiest prophet in all the world. And so instead of saying, yes, God, send me, I am ready, Jonah said, nope, I'm out of here. So let's start at the beginning. Let's start at the first chapter. And so God gives him his decree. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And so instead of Isaiah, who said, here am I, Lord, send me. Instead, Jonah quickly turned his tail and fled. And so instead of hopping the first ship to Nineveh, he goes the other way, as far away as he can. Verse 3 says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And so to me, it seems pretty odd. How does one flee from the Lord? How does one get away from a God who is all-present, all-powerful, can see all things, can know all things, can understand all things? How do we run away from God? Well, I guess Jonah was trying to find out. And so here's his attempt. Jonah boards the ship, and he's on his way to Tarshish. And so far, so good. The seas are calm, it's tranquil, he's out on the deck, he's admiring the scenery, looking around. And then all of a sudden, in verse 4, it says, the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And so the ship is tossing to and fro and to and fro and to and fro. And so all the crew and the captain are just looking around saying, what in the world? What's going on? We looked at the weather channel and there weren't any storms coming. What's going on? That might have been an anachronism there. That didn't happen, actually. But they didn't understand. There were supposed to be no storms. The seas were calm. So they were looking around. They were trying to figure out what in the world was going on. They knew something was amiss. And so the captain was looking for Jonah because he was the oddball. He wasn't anywhere around. Jonah had went down below the deck, and he was taking a nap. And so in verse 5 it says, Jonah, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. So they know that maybe something's going on with this Jonah guy. What's the deal? And so what they do is that they end up casting lots. That was a custom in the Old Testament to try to figure out something that was going on. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And so Jonah had told them at the very beginning that he was trying to run away from God. And so the captain and all the crew put two and two together. And they said in verse 10, what have you done? What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? And Jonah tells them this. He says, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and soon it will become calm, and I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. But here's the thing. The sailors were some nice guys. They didn't want to throw Jonah in. They really wanted to help him. And so they tried and tried and tried everything. They even got in a rowboat, and they were trying to row for shore as quick as they could, but yet none of that worked. And so they knew the only thing that they could do, because God was calling out for Jonah, was that they threw him into the sea. Jonah said, shoo, that's over. I guess I'll just hang out here. I'll swim, eventually make my way back to shore. I'm good. But not so much. I think that picture will be a good depiction of what I'm about to tell you. Verse 17 says, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Can you imagine being in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights? I'm sure Jonah had no idea what was going to happen to him. I'm sure he didn't know whether he was going to live or die, whether or not he was going to be digested or not. I think Jonah was at least hoping that he could give that fish a little heartburn before he expired in this world. But that wasn't the case either. Jonah prayed to God. He poured out his heart in chapter 2. And he says in verse 9, he says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good, I will say. Salvation has come from the Lord." And so Jonah realizes that the jig is up. He's tried to run, he's tried to go as far as he can, and it didn't work. And he says, "You know what, God? You win." And so here's what happens. "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land." And so here's the thing. If you read the Hebrew of this text, when he was trying to flee from the presence of God, Jonah went down, 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 down. Down to Joppa, down to the ship, down to the deck, down below the sea. Now Jonah goes up, 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 and now to Nineveh. So here's how chapter 3 begins. Chapter 3, I think if we put all of this stuff in contemporary terms, God says, "Jonah, let's try this again." And this is what he says. And so it says at the very beginning of chapter 3, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, 'Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message that I gave you.'" And so this time Jonah listened. But here's the interesting thing about what Jonah did. Most scholars argue about what he did. You see, most prophets will go throughout a city. Nineveh was a big city. It took 3 days to go through the whole thing. And what they should have been doing was going, "The city is going to be overthrown. Repent, repent." But Jonah instead was like this: "The city is going to be overthrown. Repent, repent. The city is going to be overthrown. Repent." He didn't want anybody to hear. He said it about as low as he could. He said it about as half-heartedly as he could. He did the bare minimum that a prophet had to do. But he did say it. 40 more days, and Nineveh would be overthrown. So you would think that with such minimal effort, the Ninevites would say, "You know what? Who's this guy walking around? I'm not worried about him." But yet that's not the case at all. Listen to what happens. In verse 5, it says, "The Ninevites believed God, and a fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Even the king got involved." You see, the king normally never repents, but yet even the king was repentant. In verses 6 through 9, it says, "When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. And this is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh: 'By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything, and do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently to God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? May God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish.'" So I want you all to imagine the scene. For those of you that don't know what sackcloth is, do you all know those old burlap potato sacks? That's what sackcloth is. So think about how itchy and uncomfortable that would be. And so not only did the king wear sackcloth and ashes, but everybody in the town, and not only everybody in the town, but also all the babies and the small children, but also even the livestock. Can you imagine going to Vanderwens and seeing all the cows with sackcloth covering them? Well, that was the scene. That's what was going on. Everybody was in a spirit of repentance. Jonah and his half-hearted proclamation that the city would be overthrown worked in an incredible way. Everyone had a repentant heart. In verse 10 says, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented. It did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened." And so here's the crazy thing to me. Of all the prophets in the Old Testament, of every prophet that you read about, Jonah half-hearted Jonah was the most successful prophet of them all. Everyone in the whole city of Nineveh repented. I think that there were prophets in the Bible who would give their right arm to have the success that Jonah had. Jeremiah was even told in verse 7 and 27 in the book of Jeremiah, when you tell them all this, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer. So God told Jeremiah, even before he went and uttered a word, that he would not be successful. Can you imagine how grateful Jeremiah would have been to switch places with Jonah? And so here's the interesting thing. The whole city of Nineveh repented. Jonah was the most successful prophet of all time. And do you think that Jonah was happy? Do you think that Jonah was thrilled right to death at the great success that everybody in Nineveh repented? Well, the answer to that question is no. Jonah pouted like Lily pouts when we tell her that we're all out of ice cream. That's how bad it was. That's how bad the pouting was. So the beginning of chapter 4 says, "But to Jonah this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. And he prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" So God asked him that question, I think, that a parent often asks their child when they're pouting about something they really shouldn't be pouting about. God says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And so Jonah wants to go find a place to pout. I think you all know what that looks like if you have kids, where they have to go in their room and sulk. And that's what Jonah does. He goes and he finds this beautiful plant that God had created. It's the perfect shade plant that you could ever see. So Jonah sits there and he pouts and he pouts and he pouts some more. For a brief time, it was the perfect shade. But yet God sends a worm, and the worm kills the tree, and he sends a hot breeze to blow on Jonah. So Jonah keeps up his pouting. He says, "It would be better for me to die than to live. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead." But God tells him this important lesson. "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend to it, nor did you make it grow. It sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. Should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from the left, and so many animals?" And so I think it's fascinating to me about Jonah. Fascinating for so many reasons. That although Jonah was the most half-hearted prophet of them all, although Jonah fled from God as far away as he could go, Jonah was still the most successful prophet of them all. He ran away, and he ran away, and he ran away some more, but eventually he was obedient, and the whole city of Nineveh was blessed because of it. You know, sometimes I felt what it was like to be like Jonah. There were times when I was pursuing my call to ministry that I had a lot of questions. I had a lot of apprehensions. I didn't know if I was worthy, that I was worthy of such a life to be a pastor, to dedicate my life to the Lord. And so for a long time, I ran away from it. But yet God placed a nagging feeling in my heart. It was a nagging feeling that wouldn't go away, that I wouldn't be happy until I said yes to God. And I did. And I'm so glad. My life would never be the same. And I couldn't be happier as a result of saying yes. So there's a question I want to ask all of you today. I want to ask you, has God placed a nagging feeling in your heart? Has God placed a nagging feeling inside of you about something that he wants you to do? Maybe a way that you can serve the kingdom of God in missions. Maybe a way that you can serve the kingdom of God right here in this church by teaching, by proclaiming the word, by prayer. So many ways that God nudges for us to serve, to give of ourselves. Is God nudging you today? Is there a voice in your heart speaking, calling you to service, calling you to give, calling you to do something special for his kingdom? There's another thing about Jonah that really astonishes me. It's pretty incredible how much God can do with very little. Jonah, the half-hearted prophet, saved the whole city of Nineveh, 120,000 people. Imagine what God can do with us. Imagine what God can do with our obedience if we say yes. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move it from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." You see, I've learned that if you say yes, God will do the rest. God doesn't call the equipped, but God equips the called. So how do you feel led to serve? How do you feel led to give of yourself? What kind of nudging does God have for you in your life that you haven't yet answered? I've learned in this month of talking about heroes, to be a hero for the kingdom of God, the first step is simply to say yes. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it's been so fascinating for us to study your word, to be able to see the great heroes of the faith. They're not like Captain America or Spider-Man or Superman or Batman. But yet, Lord, you use everyday people. And we think about the prophet Jonah, who fled from you as far as he could flee. But yet, God, you pursued him. And eventually, he said yes. It's amazing to know, oh God, how much you can do with so little faith. And so, oh Lord, help us to listen to your still-sounding voice as it speaks to our heart. But Lord God, if you have called us to serve, help us to be obedient. Help us to be faithful. Help us to say yes. It's in Jesus' precious name that we all pray. Amen.